Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with your hosts from the Hammerspeaks.com, David Todd, and from SteelersDepot.com, Dave Bryan. Just two Daves talking all the Steelers football you could ever want. And now, here's Dave and Dave.
Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave, Season 2, Episode 23. I'm Dave Bryan from SteelersDepot.com. My co-host David Todd from TheHammerSpeaks.com is not with me this morning. He's flying out to New York today. He'll be with me on our normal Friday episode where we break down the game this weekend between the Houston Texans and the Steelers at Houston. Normally we have our beat writer interview on Wednesday. We were not able to get that done yesterday, but I was able to get it done today with Nick Scherfield from HoustonTexans.com. He covers the team in depth for the official Houston Texans website. Nick was gracious enough to give us 20-plus minutes of his time to answer some questions about the upcoming game. And without further ado, here is my interview with Nick Scherfield from HoustonTexans.com. And make sure to join us on Friday as David Todd will join me back for our normal Friday episode where we'll break down a game further in depth and get into some of the other games going around the NFL this week. Welcome back to the Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave. My co-host David Todd had to fly out to New York today, and we are going to be talking to Nick Scherfield, who writes for the Houston Texans official website, HoustonTexans.com. You can also follow Nick on Twitter at Nick Scherfield. He does a great job covering the Texans for them and the upcoming Sunday game against with the Steelers and the Texans. Nick, welcome to the Terrible Podcast. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, I appreciate you having me on. How's it going?
Doing well. I tell you, we've got an exciting, this is going to be a marquee game this week. The Steelers really haven't performed up to expectations despite their 2-1 record, and the Texans are coming off an entertaining game against the Saints. However, it was a loss. What's the feel coming out of that game last week in a game that they had a real good chance of winning?
Well, you know, a lot of the Texans players feel like they should have won that game. You know, they put up over 400 yards offense, 300 yards in the first half. But the problem was they couldn't get touchdowns. They had to settle for 4 field goals on 5 trips to the red zone, and they kind of knew when you do it against an offense like the Saints, it's going to catch up to you. So there's a lot of disappointment on this team. You know, a lot of people are saying, you know, in the media that maybe the Texans are making strides even though they lost, but nobody in the locker room wants to hear that. They feel like they should be 3-0 right now coming out of that game with the way that they played, and they think they have the talent to beat teams like the Saints, and they feel the same way about the Steelers. But, you know, they came in Monday. They watched the tape of the game, and they moved out to Pittsburgh at about 12:30 p.m. on Monday, and there's been a big emphasis on getting better in the red zone this week and getting back Arian Foster, which looks like it's going to happen, should help. But definitely going to be an exciting game here. There's a lot of anticipation building up in the city of Houston and here around Reliance Stadium.
Yeah, you hit on a couple of things I want to touch on today. First of all, how about give us an update injury-wise where they stand health-wise? I noticed all the wide receivers, it seems, showed up on the injury report on Wednesday, and Andre Johnson, Jacoby Jones, Kevin Walter. And Andre, I guess, didn't work yesterday. I just think that was probably precautionary. But can you give us an update on the overall health of the team heading into this game?
Sure. Starting with the wide receivers, Andre Johnson is fine. He didn't practice yesterday because of a knee and toe issue. We asked him out in the locker room, and he said his knee was just a little bit sore, and he's going to be practicing today or on Thursday, and he'll be fine. So he should be fine. Kevin Walter and Jacoby Jones, they're number 2 and 3 receivers. Kevin Walter had a shoulder injury in week 1, and you know, it was initially reported by a lot of national media outlets he's going to miss 10 to 12 weeks with a broken shoulder. And it came out the next week that it was actually just a deep bruise in his collarbone, and Walter missed 1 game, and he came back last week against the Saints, had a pretty crazy touchdown catch that ricocheted off a couple people. But really gritty player, Kevin Walter, very physical blocker in the run game, and you know, he said they basically had to numb his shoulder for the game, and he just played through it, and that's probably the way it's going to be for a couple weeks. Also, Jacoby Jones, their number 3 wide receiver and punt returner, he had a knee injury, actually happened in week 2 against the Dolphins when he was celebrating a touchdown with Andre Johnson. He came down funny on his knee, and had to get a drain last week, but he was able to play. Wasn't really a factor offensively against the Saints of last week, but he was also limited in practice along with Walter, and he should be okay and getting better every week. But the other main injury concerns, obviously, Arian Foster. He's been in and out of the lineup. He's only played a half this year after leading the league in rushing last season, and he looks like he's ready to go. It looks like his hamstring injury is finally behind him. He said yesterday doesn't have any issues with it anymore. He thinks he could have played last week against the Saints, but they were holding him out just to make sure he didn't have any more setbacks, and they're hoping he's ready for the rest of the season. And then Mario Williams, the outside linebacker, their number one pass rusher, he got his knee injured in the Saints game last week, left the game in the third quarter, came back in sparingly in the fourth quarter, and that was a big concern heading out of the game, but it turns out he's okay as well. He was able to practice yesterday, and I think he's going to be fine.
With Arian Foster coming back, you know, are they planning on trying to just ease him in again, eight or ten carries, mixing in with Ben Tate, or do you think they're just going to go full bore with this guy right off the start?
I think there's going to be a little bit of easing him in, but it's going to be more than 8 to 10 carries. You know, he had 10 carries in his first game back when he tried to play in week 2 at Miami. And they didn't play in the second half because he thought his hamstring was tightening up a little bit. But Gary Kubiak said this week that they think he's totally fine now and it's totally past him. So I would expect them to give him more of a full load. But Kubiak also did say yesterday after practice that you're not going to go from nothing to everything with him. You got to bring him back the right way. So I think you're still going to see a healthy amount of Ben Tate. You know, whether that means Tate gets 8 to 10 carries or a little bit more, I'm not exactly sure. We're going to have to see how it plays out and how Arian feels throughout the week. But I think they'll definitely get more than 8 to 10 carries. I think they want to give him this full load. They just want to make sure they're doing it the right way and don't rush him back too hard. You know, Kubiak said that Foster's played about 33 reps this season. The rest of the starters have played about 100 for the Texans. So they want to make sure they don't rush him too fast, but he'll still get more than 8 to 10 carries.
What does Foster give the Texans in the running game that Ben Tate doesn't up, you know, that you've seen on the film up until this point?
Well, you know, Tate's done a great job, and he's got to be commended for what he's done. You know, after missing his entire rookie season last year with an ankle injury, he was a second-round pick out of Auburn. They had high expectations for him. He got hurt in the first carry of the preseason last year. He's come in and played really well. He's fifth in the league in rushing at a couple hundred-yard games. But Foster, you know, there's just another dimension with him. You know, we were talking to all the players about it yesterday, and the number one thing that everyone says with Arian is his vision, the way he's a very patient runner. He lets things come to him, and he makes that one cut, and he's hard to tackle. He's got deceptive speed, and he's always falling forward. You know, Texans coach Gary Kubiak said that you block a play for 2 or 3 yards, and Foster's going to get 4 or 5. It's just the way he runs the ball. Very effective in the red zone, where the Texans have struggled this year. They're 30th in the red zone right now without Foster in touchdown efficiency. Last year, they were in the top 5 with Foster, who led the league in touchdowns with 16 rushing touchdowns. So he makes a big difference back there, and not just as a running back, as a receiving threat out of the backfield. He's a big weapon for this team. He had 66 catches last year, 604 receiving yards. And Matt Schaub was talking yesterday about how you saw it so many times last year. You get Foster the ball in even a 3rd and 10 situation out in space, and very rarely does the first guy bring him down. He's a great weapon in the passing game, very underrated in that perspective, I think. And that's going to open up things as well for the rest of the coverage. You know, maybe getting guys like Andre Johnson and Owen Daniels more freed up when they have the key on Arian Foster coming out of the backfield.
You mentioned the red zone woes, and I was going to ask you about that. Looks like 31.25% in the red zone, which is 29th in the league right now. Steeler Nation can certainly kind of relate to that, some of the struggles we've had over the years in the red zone, coming away with field goals instead of 7. Is it mostly, you know, their offensive line looks fine for the most part. Is it just pretty much all on the running backs there, or do you think the play calling has been suspect by Kubiak in the red zone, been trying to pass more, or what do you see as the root of the red zone problems?
It's a combination of things. I think having Arian Foster back will definitely help, but you know, nobody on the team is saying that it's all because Arian's out. You know, they're all saying, Arian said the same thing yesterday, it's a collective effort. It falls on the entire offense. You know, the Texans' passing offense has been much less efficient in the red zone than they were last year. And whether or not that's a byproduct of somehow having Foster in the game is hard to say. But, you know, they just haven't been executing. You know, there have been some drop passes. There have been some problems with protection. You know, when you get down there, every yard's important. And the Texans just haven't been doing it. Haven't been getting it done. You know, I think having Arian Foster back is going to be a bigger deal than Texans players and coaches are letting on. We'll have to see, but you know, whatever it is, they've got to figure out a way to improve it. You know, the red zone was a big problem for them 2 seasons ago. They brought in a new offensive coordinator, Rick Dennison, from the Denver Broncos, who Kubiak had worked with for many years. And, you know, he's a big offensive line and running game guy. And they saw it get a lot better last year, but now they've regressed back to where they were a couple of years ago. So it's something that they're trying to fix. I think it's not just Foster. It's maybe the receivers running a little better routes and, you know, offensive line holding up better in protection and just making one or two more plays. And hopefully we'll see that improve.
I tell you, something that we saw against the Saints last week was that tight end James Casey out of Rice. This kid looks like the real deal. Mostly, I guess, lined up as more of a fullback role. Is this something that the success that he had against the Saints, or is he going to be lined up, at fullback ahead of Foster and Tate this week? Do you see them using him in the same capacity this week against the Steelers?
Yeah, he is. You know, he's the starting fullback for the Texans. He was a tight end for his first 2 years. He's got a great story. I mean, he played here at Rice in Houston, was a triple major, and graduated with something like a 3.8 GPA in about 2.5 years. He's a minor league baseball pitcher for a couple seasons in the Chicago White Sox system. Great athlete. He played 7 different positions in 1 game at Rice. Started out as a linebacker, moved to tight end, played Wildcat quarterback. But, you know, the Texans lost their all-pro fullback from last season. Vontae Leach, a free agency this offseason, he signed with one of your rivals, the Baltimore Ravens. And, you know, he's a bruising lead blocker and really played a role in Arian Foster's success last season. But the Texans didn't seem to be, you know, they wanted to keep Vontae, but they weren't overly concerned about losing him because they knew that they had him, James Casey. He's not the blocker that Vontae Leach was. He never really blocked much at the tight end. He was always more of a receiver. But he's worked hard on his blocking. He's bulked up about 5 or 10 pounds this season. And he just gives them so many more wrinkles to their offense in their passing game. You know, he lines up the fullback. He'll motion out into a tight end spot. He'll motion out into the slot. He'll motion from the slot into the backfield, and they'll run the ball or they'll pass the ball to him. You know, he lets them line up in a lot of different formations. And hopefully what the Texans are hoping is he makes them that much more unpredictable. And, you know, we even saw him get an 11-yard carry on a top sweep last week, which is his first carry of his career. So he had 5 catches, 100-plus yards, a big receiving day for him. You know, Gary Kubiak said that they didn't think he was going to get quite that many yards. Some of the plays just kind of came to him because of what the Saints were doing. But everything that they've thrown at him, he's responded, and they'll continue to look for new wrinkles from him. So I think you're going to continue to see him catching passes and doing a lot of interesting things around his backfield.
Kind of switching over to the defensive side of the ball, of course, Wade Phillips comes over there, brings a 3-4 with him, with no OTAs and mini camps and all. I know that had to be tough to try to transition that defense over, but I knew for a fact that Mario Williams would have no problem switching to more of an outside linebacker role. We're real familiar with the 3-4 defense here, of course, with Dick LeBeau. You know, how has that gone? It looks, you know, by looking at film, it looks like if Mario's kept out of out of the quarterback's face along with J.J. Watt, the two prime players as far as the Texans pass rush goes, it looks like, you know, the interior of the defensive line is having problems getting pressure on the quarterback. Is that what you've seen so far? Is shutting down Mario Williams and J.J. Watt the key for the Steelers to give Roethlisberger time?
Well, that'll definitely be very important, I think, especially Mario Williams. You know, he had 2 sacks in the first game. He forced an interception by hitting Chad Henne in the second game as he threw and had a couple of pressures against the Dolphins there down in week 2 and the Texans win at Miami. And this last game, he came out, and I think it really affected the Texans' defense in the fourth quarter when he wasn't there as much. But, you know, J.J. Watt made a big impact. But, you know, Antonio Smith, the defensive end, is actually leading the Texans in sacks right now. He's got 3 on the season. I think he's going to be a key player to watch, and I actually wrote about that in our Texans Game Day magazine for the Texans. You know, he's at his back in every game. He plays defensive end like J.J. Watt. Both he and Watt move inside in passing down in nickel situations, the outside situations, when they bring up Mario Williams, put his hand down as a defensive end. They'll move Watt and Antonio Smith inside, and Smith really has a lot of strength against those guards, a lot of quickness, and he feels very comfortable, you know, going against guards on the inside, especially with the Steelers' problems on the offensive line and health issues that obviously I know you're very familiar with. That could be something to watch there with the Texans. You know, Antonio Smith, one of the guys, doesn't get talked about a lot, but he's a very emotional leader on the team, plays with a lot of passion. I think he and J.J. Watt, both on the inside, have made a big impact so far for this defense. So, you know, their other outside linebacker is Connor Barwin. He's a third-year guy out of Cincinnati. Missed all last season with an ankle. personal injury suffered in the first game, but they have really high hopes for him. He had one sack at Miami, and they're hoping he can get some more, but I think it's going to be down. The most important players to key on for that offense are going to be Mario Williams, Antonio Smith, and J.J. Watt.
The Steelers have struggled on offense running the football, and partially because of all the shuffle in the offensive line, as you mentioned, due to injuries and all, and you know, some personnel problems a little bit of the play calling and the running style. Rashard Mendenhall has got some fans upset, but you know, the Texans defense as a whole looks like they're giving up 4.8 yards per rushing play, which is 26 in the league in that category. It seems like they can be run on up the middle. Is this how the Steelers need to attack the Texans initially, kind of loosen them up, get the safeties up in the box by running straight up the middle at them?
I would imagine they would try. You know, I know there have been struggles there in Pittsburgh this season. I think, you know, around 3.3 yards per carry, Pittsburgh's averaging as a team. But, yeah, Daniel Thomas, the rookie from Miami, had a big day against the Texans with a lot of runs up the middle. Mark Ingram, the rookie out of Alabama for the New Orleans Saints, scored the go-ahead touchdown on a run up the middle against them. And that's been a concern among fans and media here in Houston. You know, the Texans run defense up the middle. They saw it happen in the preseason where Texans did get gashed a little bit on that. You know, but part of what happened in Miami when Daniel Thomas had 100-plus yards, the Texans were saying that basically they only put six guys in the box because they were keyed on stopping Chad Henne in that spread passing attack that the Dolphins have after they threw for 400-plus yards against the Patriots. So it's hard to really say after three games. You know, there's a lot of panic, I'm sure, in Pittsburgh about what's going on with how the Steelers haven't looked overly convincing in their wins. And, yeah, there's panic here in Houston about, you know, is the defense really that good after what the Saints did against them? But, you know, you got to look at the New Orleans Saints and Drew Brees. I don't think the Texans are going to face a better offense all season. You know, this defense is still coming together. You mentioned how short amount of time there was for them to prepare in the offseason. They're getting more comfortable with the system under Wade Phillips every week. And, you know, I think the run defense would probably be the biggest concern on defense right now for the Texans, and maybe a thing the Steelers are looking at that they can exploit. But it's also, I think, been too short to really tell if it's going to be a problem all season or just a byproduct of the way they've been playing teams so far.
I'm talking to Nick Scherfield from HoustonTexans.com. You can follow Nick on Twitter at Nick Scherfield. Does a great job covering them. He's also going to be having a live blog, as they do every week, up on HoustonTexans.com. So, you know, you might want to swing by there for some pregame talk and chat as well. Now, Nick, as far as the secondary goes, we all know about the struggles that they had last year in the secondary and all, giving up the big plays and whatnot. But, you know, this year with Jonathan Joseph brought in, I think Quinn got moved to strong safety, and Manning's been, you know, free safety over there now. It looks like Quinn might be the weakest link in the secondary. Is that what you're seeing?
No, I wouldn't agree with that, actually. You know, Glover Quinn, I think they think very highly of him as a safety. You know, he was the Texans' best corner for the last couple of years, which I guess wasn't saying much last season with how bad the pass defense was. But, you know, Wade Phillips came in, and the first thing he said, one of the first things he said looking at the defense, was they thought Glover Quinn was a good cornerback, that he could be a really good safety. And Daniel Manning, his first couple of weeks here in training camp, when he signed from the Chicago Bears to the Texans, he was talking about Glover Quinn, and he thinks he can be a Pro Bowler as a safety. He's got all the tools for that. The most scrutinized guy, the most criticized guy in the secondary has been Kareem Jackson, the cornerback. He's a second-year pro, first-round pick out of Alabama last season, 20th overall, and he really struggled last season, giving up some big touchdown passes. You know, this season he's now been rotating a little bit with Jason Allen, a corner they signed from Miami last year, who also is a former first-round pick. But, you know, fans and media have really been piling on Jackson after the Saints game because Lance Moore kind of had his way with him in the second half. You know, especially in that fourth quarter on a touchdown pass and a few other throws. So he's been getting criticized a lot, and, you know, people were wondering if the Texans are going to put him on the bench and put Jason Allen as a full-time starter. You know, Gary Kubiak continues to say that they think Kareem is getting better and the whole secondary has to play better. Glover Quinn did give up a big touchdown pass last week, but I think all the Texans secondary didn't look their best in that fourth quarter against the Saints when they gave up 23 points to Drew Brees. So, you know, Jackson has definitely got to improve. He's going to be an important guy to watch. But the additions of Jonathan Joseph and Daniel Manning have been, it's hard to overstate how big they've been. You know, two veteran guys, starters from day one that you can add in free agency. is really something the coaches felt good about doing after the general manager, Rick Smith, was able to sign them. So they've made plays for these first two games. I think they're going to be key players to watch in this game. Manning has also been outstanding on kickoff returns, as he was with Chicago, and Joseph has interceptions in two straight games. So it's going to be interesting to see, you know, how they fare against Mike Wallace and those two receivers.
Yeah, it seems like they've done a good job not giving up the big play thus far, really, on defense. And you know, that's something that the Steelers try to strive on, the big play, of course, to Wallace and all. They've been having to go teams have been trying to take Wallace away more on the deep stuff, and he's been showing he's not a one-trick pony anymore, doing the intermediate stuff and the quick slants and all. So that's going to be an interesting matchup. I suppose the Texans are going to guard against a big play and make Ben beat them up underneath.
Yeah, that's one of the things that Wade Phillips preached when he came in here is, you know, you got to – one of the key things of their defense, one of the tenets of their defense, is trying to limit the big plays. And that's something they have done pretty well so far this season. They gave up a few against the Saints, and keep going back to that. But, you know, that's one of the things they're keying on. They don't want teams to beat them with big plays. You know, they feel like they can get a lot more pressure on the quarterback in the 3-4 scheme than the Texans were in their 4-3, and they have better players in the secondary now to hold up better if they can't get more pressure. So they're definitely going to try to limit those big plays, but they have all the respect in the world for Mike Wallace. You know, Jonathan Joseph is very familiar with him, obviously, from his days with the Bengals, and these guys have been saying a lot of good things about him from what they've seen on tape. And it's pretty amazing, you know, when you look at him averaging almost 20 yards per catch in his career. You know, really a special player. I mean, aside from this week, fun to watch.
I hear you. They asked James Harrison yesterday about Brian Cushing and the comments he made about him in the Men's Journal magazine that got all the hype in the offseason there, and asked Harrison if he was going to apologize, you know, this week to Cushing, and Harrison said, "I don't need to." he said it's not on his mind. Has this been getting any run in Houston whatsoever? Have the media talked to, you know, has this been a talking point with Cushing this week, or will it be leading up to the game?
You know, it hasn't been. Actually, I forgot about those comments that he made until you just mentioned it right there, but I definitely remember that article, and I'm sure there are a lot of people down here who do. But, you know, we talked to Cushing yesterday, and nobody really brought that up. I guess it's out of sight, out of mind here for him, and, you know, he's more focused on the game itself. We'll see if anybody asks him about it, but, you know, he's had a fantastic start to the season, and I think he'll quiet a lot of those critics with the way, if he continues to play the way he does. You know, after week two, when Cushing had, I believe it was 7 tackles against the Dolphins, leading the Texans in tackles every game here. But Cushing, after that Miami Dolphins game, Wade Phillips talked about it, said he's been a holy terror on the field, and just the way that he plays, you know, blowing up people on every play, so such a physical player. They think he's a prototype for a Mike inside linebacker in the 3-4. You know, the linebackers coach, Reggie Herring, talked about him in the offseason to me. He said, you know, ideally, he'd like to have a Mike linebacker be 6'2", about 245, 250 pounds. Well, Cushing's 6'3", 265, he can run better than most linebackers. So they think he does a great job against the tight end, you know, setting the box in there in the running game. They use him in some inside pressures on blitzes, and I think he's on his way to an outstanding season. And, yeah, but no mention of those comments so far.
The weather Sunday, I guess, is going to be pretty clear. Is that what I'm hearing? And I suppose they're going to have that roof open. Is that decision been made yet?
Yeah, no, it hasn't been made. It's usually not made until right up until kickoff, about an hour and a half or 2 hours before they'll make the official decision. And it actually depends on the temperature. If it's any kind of inclement weather, they'll have the roof closed, so the weather's never really a factor down here. There's a rule the Texans have. It's called the 50-80 rule, where if the temperature is between 50 and 80 degrees, they'll have the roof open. If it's not, it'll be closed. So, you know, I personally like it a lot more when the roof's open. It feels more like you're at a football stadium in Texas here. But beautiful facility, regardless. And, you know, whether or not it's open, that probably really shouldn't be a factor.
Have they announced what – are they going to wear white this week and make the Steelers wear the black? Has that been announced yet?
Yeah, the Texans actually will be wearing their blue jerseys with their white pants. So I guess the Steelers will be in white. They're wearing the blue for every single home game except a couple. They have a couple games where – they wear a red jersey, and they wear all-white uniforms for their home opener every year. But they'll be in their blue and white this week.
Okay, so the Steelers will be wearing white this week. A lot of times in these hot climate stadiums early in the year, it seems like they try to use the, you know, the heat and humidity as a factor and make the Steelers wear the black. So I know they're going to be happy to have those white jerseys on on Sunday. What do you got planned? Anything special on HoustonTexans.com this week, and of course the live blog on Sunday?
Yeah, we have something coming out tomorrow called our Friday Facebook Mailbag, where Drew Doherty, who does our Texans TV, all our web video, he and I sit down and answer questions from our fans on Facebook, the Facebook.com/HoustonTexans, to talk about everything leading up to the game. And then next week, we're filming an episode today. We've been doing something with our nose tackle, Sean Cody, called On the Nose, where he hosts the show and kind of silly stuff. He did film the last one in the cold tub with one of our trainers, talking about the myths of the cold tub and things like that. That'll be coming out. But we also do a lot of statistical analysis of the game coming up. I'll have an article coming out tomorrow called Nick's Notes, where I just look at a bunch of different key stats and numbers about Texans players and the team, offense, defense, and special teams, the milestones they might be able to reach this week against the Steelers. And then Saturday before the game, I have a Five Things to Watch article breaking down five key points in the game from both teams combined. So and then during the game, as you mentioned, we'll have a live blog and a pregame show on HoustonTexans.com that airs live 90 minutes before kickoff.
Is it too early to get a prediction from you, or do you want me to tease them and have them go to your website?
Well, I shy away from predictions. I'm not one in the prediction industry, but I think it's going to be a very physical game. I think it's going to be a close one, and to me, this is one of the marquee games in the NFL this weekend. I know it's got the most buzz actually on the NFL Ticketmaster Ticket Exchange website. It's the number one buzzworthy game, but I think it's going to be a fun one to watch, and hopefully from our end down here, the Texans come out with a victory.
I got you, and we'll be rooting on the black and gold. I suppose it's going to be, Steelers fans travel real well, so I expect to see them trying to snap up some of them scalper tickets and all. Hey, Nick, you've been excellent and all today, and we certainly do appreciate you taking time to join us to break this thing down on the Terrible Podcast. And listeners, make sure you go by HoustonTexans.com at some point this week and get some of their analysis on their side of the ball. Follow Nick on Twitter, @NickSkirt. Field, and he does a great job daily covering this team on Twitter and on their site as well. Nick, thanks so much for joining us today.
Hey, Dave, thanks a lot. I really enjoyed it, and keep up the great work of your site.
Thank you very much.
That was Nick Scherfield from HoustonTexans.com, and we appreciate him joining us on the Terrible Podcast. Make sure to follow Nick on Twitter @NickScherfield and visit HoustonTexans.com for all of his pregame stuff on the upcoming game Sunday between the Steelers and the Texans. And that'll wrap up this special episode, Thursday episode of the Terrible Podcast, Season 2, Episode 23. We'll be back at you tomorrow to break down the Texans-Steelers game more in depth. Thanks for listening.